Welcome to Manager Tools.
This is Kate.
And this is Sarah.
Today's cast. The goal of an interview is to create a decision. Part one of one.
The questions this cast answers are, what is the only effective outcome of an interview? Why do so many people get interviewing wrong? And how can I become an outstanding interviewer?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
At our recent M conference, our guest speakers spoke on a number of topics. The what ifs, contingency planning, analysis of a competitive environment and where our industries will be in 2 to 5 years, and relationships. In particular, those outside of our normal day-to-day dealings and immediate team or colleagues. If you're wanting your team of project managers, engineers, coders, or professionals to expand their knowledge of building relationships and communicating effectively with others, particularly those outside of your workplace discipline, have Manager Tools come on site and deliver our effective communicator training to your organization. It's applicable for all professionals. If you'd like to learn more, visit us online today at manager-tools.com under the training and events page, or you can also email Maggie. Her email is at customerservice@manager-tools.com.
If you're a manager, if you're a professional, but more if you're a manager, you have heard a lot of stuff about interviewing, or even you haven't even heard it. It's you're inundated by it on social media,
yeah.
And you see stuff, and some of it's catchy. And so there's a lot of stuff out there. Some of our, I've almost said favorites, some of our least favorites, really, are things like a good interview is a conversation, A good interview is a two-way street, a good interview helps you understand the candidate, a good interview is a way to get to know the candidate, and all of these, and probably everything you see on TikTok, miss the mark.
Yeah, they're a little misleading, right? They're useful in some ways, and
yeah,
in part, kind of maybe a little bit true in some cases. It is true that a good interviewer can ask questions in such a way that a candidate will feel they're having a conversation with the interviewer. And it's true that understanding your candidate, insofar as any human being can do in a single hour, which let's face
it,
isn't very well, it's absolutely a good thing to get to know your candidate. Yet, some of them, like interviewing is a two-way street, are just plain wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we learn these lessons. They're not necessarily the right ones.
Yeah. And if we're assuming positive intent about these comments, part of it is that interviewing is a very serious process that you can't really necessarily condense into a pithy sentence that would portray all of its purposes, you know, the intricacies of it. And there is a goal.
Yeah, there is a goal. But the thing about interviewing, I think that makes it a little bit different than the other things in some ways is, while we may not all have interviewed, if you're in the professional sphere, we've all been interviewed.
Yes.
So a lot of what we hear is these impressions coming from candidates because we all have that same experience.
Yes.
We don't necessarily know the organizational purpose of the interview so much as what candidates desire from an interview.
Yes. In fact, funny story, Gary told me once that thinking that you understand how to interview someone is like thinking that you know how to be on stage if you went to the concert.
Yeah. No, dude, that is exactly it. That is the perfect analogy. It's like, I know exactly how to do that job. Oh, no, you don't.
You don't.
You don't.
You don't. And so we want to help y'all to learn more about it because even if you have interviewed people, certainly your exposure to interviewing is probably more for majority of people from the other side of the table as the candidate. And it's different when you're the interviewer. The goal of an interview is to cause the interviewer to make a decision about whether or not to hire the candidate. If you don't know this, if you aren't aware of it, and then you simply instead have a conversation or get to know the candidate, you're likely going to miss the real goal of interviewing, which is a decision.
Yeah.
And we really want to help get you there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so folks, we've got an outline for today's cast. First, we're going to discuss the goal of an interview being to create a decision. And then, knowing you have to make a decision focuses your effort in the interview, followed by immediate decisions speed up the overall hiring process. So we're going to start with the bottom line up front in today's guidance. Folks, the goal of your interview efforts is to give you enough information to make you able to either say yes or say no to a candidate the moment your interview is over.
Mm-hmm. It's a really sweet little idea to think that your job in the interview is to get to know someone.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point of an interview.
No, it's not.
And we like nice, we like personable, we like professional, but that's not the point. We ought to know, we got to be aware. We logically should be able to admit to ourselves that we will never truly know someone after an hour-long interview.
Oh my gosh. Imagine just like 30 to 45 minutes. Sometimes we hear of clients, people on site tell us really short interviews. You can't get to know someone in months. Never mind an hour or less for sure.
Yeah, I would suggest to truly know someone takes years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so clearly, if we're talking about the time constraints of interviewing, and we're going to talk about this because honestly, all interviewing suffers from the time constraints applied or involved. But if you think about the time constraints, which we would suggest you push up against because we don't think that all the time constraints that you believe are necessary,
mm-hmm.
clearly the point is not to get to know someone because we know that we couldn't possibly get to know them in one, like, lunch time. Like, that's less time than, I mean, well, that's actually a little more time than I spend eating lunch sometimes. It's just so small.
It's so small. Exactly. We could never, so that can't be the point. It can't be the
point. Right.
Folks, it's also not the point of an interview to have a conversation.
Oh my gosh.
If you tell someone, just have a conversation with the candidate, you're essentially telling them that an interview should be just another conversation.
No.
It's absolutely not just another conversation. Interviews are a very specific type of communication. They're different from many of the other conversations we have, for example.
Oh my gosh, they're different from all of the other conversations I have.
They cost money. They take time at work. They're designed to create a result, the result being a decision. 99% of the conversations in your life are not designed to deliver a decision. Never mind, are you getting paid to have them?
Even worse, these decisions are going to cost us future money.
Oh my gosh.
It's not just that you're in this meeting and you're a resource and it costs money for you to be in this interview. It's also that this conversation that people are trying to inflict upon you is something that is going to cost your organization hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yes.
And I have to say this, I don't believe there are very many conversations that humans have that result in a cost expenditure of hundreds of thousands of dollars over
years.
Solid
point. Yeah.
Sure. Mortgages, cars. Okay. And the data suggests that most people buy those things quite rarely. So don't try and tell me, oh, it's a conversation, when this particular conversation, if you will, results in hundreds of thousands of dollars spent. And please do not suggest to me that it should be a conversation and then also say, and that will lead to good decision-making around this level of monies.
Oh my gosh.
It's always baffling to me. I understand that it's enjoyable. And so full disclosure, y'all, we are not trying to tell you that it shouldn't be conversational.
Correct. Yeah.
That it shouldn't feel conversational. But conversational is a style. It's an approach. It's not the strategy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The reason that people say interviews should be a conversation is because a poorly trained interviewer, which is the majority of interviewers,
sadly. Let's face it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can turn an interview into something that feels a lot like an inquisition. Mm-hmm. Question, answer, question, answer. If you don't like the inquisition analogy, you could think of it like a tennis match.
Yeah, tennis match. Mm-hmm.
The ball has to go back and forth and back and forth. And that's not necessary. It turns candidates off in part because, unfortunately, so many people have been talking about how interviews should be a conversation for so long. I will also say candidates really do enjoy it when it's conversational.
Absolutely.
And they oftentimes want it to be a conversation because it reduces their stress level.
Yeah.
It is more enjoyable for them to be involved in a conversation than an interview. And unfortunately, in this scenario, I am not overly concerned with how they feel comfortable. I mean, I want them to have a good experience.
Yep.
I am not going to go out of my way to create comfort past a certain point. I'm not filling my office, for example, with fluffy pillows for them either. We're not offering their preferred beverages necessarily either. The conversations you have every day do not result in this much money being spent.
That's the thing, folks. I mean, example.
Illogical.
Yeah. Well, how many times have you had a conversation, a great conversation with a person that was super fun to engage with and super enjoyable to talk to, and you just had a great chat, but then also simultaneously, you know, oh, I would never want to work with that person. And that that alone should tell you why conversations are not interviews. Because there are a lot of people who are great conversationalists who you definitely don't want to work with. And there are a lot of people who maybe aren't the best conversationalists who would be outstanding for your team. So,
true.
Thinking you're just assessing, or you're going in with the purpose of having a conversation, it just, it does all the wrong things. The key with this conversation guidance is to recognize that it is guidance of style. As Kate said, style, not purpose. But folks, if all your newer interviewers hear in this guidance you're providing them is conversation, which they're going to totally latch onto because they have had a lot of conversations in their life and they may not have ever interviewed. They're so much easier. They're familiar with the concept. They may not have a net to catch interviewing in. So if you all you say is conversation, they're going to latch onto the item and they're going to lose sight of the purpose of the interview. To make a decision in the pursuit of, in this case, style versus tactic.
Right. They'll go for conversation,
yeah, exactly.
Even though we're really trying to help make strategic choices. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, sometimes you have conversations with people you'd never want to work with. I am often baffled by how much chat there is around, oh, well, we don't want to spend too much time interviewing them. Y'all, think about that. You don't want to spend too much time interviewing them, but you're going to work with them 8 hours a day. There are many people whose conversations, to your point, I enjoy, whom I would not like to spend 8 hours a day at work with.
Yeah.
At all.
Agreed.
And, yeah. And so I think we have to keep in mind that these ideas don't support teaching people, others how to do
exactly
well.
That's exactly it. We understand that, but you have to make it clear when you're teaching other people because they may not hear it as clearly. Totally.
Yes, absolutely. And remember, from the other side of the fence, which is where they were, they had a more enjoyable experience if it was a conversation.
Yep.
Okay, we understand that. That may cause them to believe that certain things are more useful than others. But whenever you're helping your people to learn how to interview, don't use the word conversation. Use the word conversational. Explain that it should be relaxed, comfortable, and non-threatening. And also make sure that they know that they're obligated to make a decision in the interview, likely at the end.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Absolutely. And going into it with that frame of mind that there is a purpose, I know what it is, that will shape the interview. Mm-hmm. It will help them look for the right things in that conversation. Watch for the right cues and clues. Yes, absolutely.
It's the difference between the conversation you have about what car you might like to buy and the conversation you have at the dealership.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly.
Decide. We're here. We're on site. Let's decide.
Yeah, totally.
And there's, we mentioned it earlier too, when people say, oh, it's a two-way street. Okay. We have put out a podcast that actually says interviewing is not.
Yeah, exactly. Street. Listen to that one.
Please do. And the problem with this pseudo guidance is that it implies that because both people in an interview will ultimately have to make a decision, both should be making a decision at the same time, which is during the interview. But it's only partially true that both candidate and company will have to make a decision because the company has to make a decision before the candidate gets to make one.
Yeah.
If the company decides no first, then the candidate doesn't have a decision to make. They won't get an offer and they won't get to decide upon
They will never get to
offer.
Decide.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Conversation guidance causes managers and interviewers to allow the candidate more time for their questions about whether or not they might want the job. Also, sometimes I've seen it cause conversations about things that don't have anything to do with what we're doing in the meeting, in the interview. And it sounds fine in principle that a candidate would ask questions about what the job entails and help them to kind of get some information. But what it really means is the interviewer, who is the only one of the two participants that must make a decision during this time frame and by the end of the interview, will often then not get enough time to make their decision.
Actually, I want to go back to something you said a minute ago, Kate. I think that's a really important point. One of us is on the clock here. One of us is on the clock. The interviewer is on the stinking clock right now. So that's why, folks, that's why this we need to be the ones asking first is important. And since if we let our candidates ask too many questions, we will have a lack of information, that lack of information likely leading to us not being able to say yes to our candidate, but saying no to the candidate. This having a conversation idea, it increases the chances of us saying no to a candidate because we've given them the floor. It's unfair to them to let them have too much of the floor and us be then incapable of making a decision. It's just, it's easy to follow for inexperienced interviewers, this have a conversation guidance, because if they don't have that many questions to ask and they get answers from the candidate, which they generally know the answers to, it's easier, right? If the candidate's the one asking the questions, I know the answer to all the questions the candidate's going to ask me. So it makes it easier on the interviewer. Again, for newer interviewers, this is just, it makes it such that they're not evaluating or making either bad hires or don't have enough data to make a good hire and therefore not hiring candidates.
Again, we're not saying that you shouldn't be conversational in tone, which means being polite, allowing interruptions, asking for clarification, being understanding when someone gets off track in their answer. But too many new managers and interviewers here have a conversation. They don't understand the distinction between that and be conversational. And then they add have a conversation to interviewing as a two-way street and end up hurting the candidate. If you and the candidate get off topic and you spend 20 of the 40 minutes talking about where you went to college, unfortunately, where they went to college doesn't necessarily predict how well they can do the job. And then therefore, we've cut a substantial portion of the time we could have been gathering data about their capabilities in the role. And all of these problems can be solved by your interviewers knowing that their goal is to make a decision instead. People behave very differently in conversations where decisions are required than they do in just conversations. Yeah. So again, conversational with a goal, an output.
Exactly. Exactly. Actually, something we haven't even mentioned in this cast yet, Kate, is, folks, if you don't know this, and I hope you do, the purpose of the interview, not the goal, the goal being to make a decision, the purpose of an interview is to assess whether or not the candidate would be good at doing the role for which you're looking to hire. Essentially, it's a fictitious reality created to resemble reality in an effort to assess whether or not, if they got the job, they could do their job. And therefore, the goal is a decision.
Hopefully, when people heard you say that out loud, they thought to themselves, of course, that's the answer.
Yeah.
Why would she even have to say that out loud? And we have to say that out loud because what we see is people acting not as if that's the case.
Conversations don't do that.
It's and I absolutely believe that people hear what you just said and they're like, yeah, that is the purpose. And yet they do not behave as if that is the reality. And it is the reality. Mm-hmm. So we just want to help people understand that your behaviors either increase the likelihood that that's actually what's happening or decrease it. And you're going to have to help the people who you hire and the people on your team to do this better, partially, again, because they've only been to the concert. They've never been on stage.
That's exactly it. So, folks, knowing that you have to make a decision focuses interviewer effort.
Mm-hmm.
So suppose you're getting ready to interview someone and you were one of several people interviewing this same candidate. And then your boss came to you and said, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. The interview schedule just changed. Unfortunately, we don't have time for anyone else on the team to interview this new candidate, but you. You are the only one who's going to interview this new person. And to be honest, whatever you decide, yes or no, that will determine whether or not we make an offer to this person. Okay. So now, ask yourself, would this new data change the way you thought about and conducted the interview? Would you feel a little bit of pressure? Would you wonder whether or not your questions were good enough? Would you pay a bit more attention? Perhaps to the point of increasing mental intensity during the interview, focusing a little bit more? Would you probe more, ask more questions, and be more attentive to particular weaknesses that you thought you might have identified? We suspect you would. We suspect you absolutely would feel a little bit, whoa, it's only coming down to me. I gotta pay attention. Now, ask yourself, why is that? Were you just phoning it in before? Is it because you knew you were just one vote before, but now you're all the stinking votes? And why would being one of many votes make you want to be any less than your very best when you're interviewing a new candidate? Does being one of many change the idea that the most important thing a manager will do is to hire new people for the organization? Had you been thinking that if you're wrong, but there are other people interviewing, your wrong vote will probably be overturned by someone else who got it right?
This is one of the things that really scares me about panel interviews. I believe that when people are put on a panel to interview, they act as if. So I then extrapolate from my observations that they believe that someone else is ultimately responsible for the decision.
Yeah.
And that's what really bothers me about panels is that people are really abdicating their responsibility on a panel because surely someone else is the deciding vote. And we've asked the question of many new interviewers we've trained, and they all said, yes, I would definitely think differently about an interview if I was the only person interviewing the candidate. I would feel pressure. I would pay more attention to my questions and answers. So we can see from this what's happened, that while a series of individual interviews can give an organization several different perspectives, it can also mistakenly cause each individual to not give their full and best attention to the interview. Without understanding that each single interview must result in a decision, all of the interviews are less effective. Because again, they believe that somebody else is ultimately the decision maker, or that it's a crowdsourced situation. And so if they go in there and someone else can sway them, that it'll be okay.
Right.
And it causes then, in many cases, without the use of our interview results capture meeting, which we really, really find super powerful, each of the interviewers, having conducted unfocused interviewers, will share their comments and thoughts and feelings and impressions with whoever is gathering the interview results.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. If you're phoning it in, because there are multiple other interviews, folks, everyone else is doing it too.
Yeah, that's what we see.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you feel that way, chances are everyone else that's doing it also feels that way. And in many cases, based on our reviews of interview processes done by other organizations, the input doesn't even include a hiring recommendation in many cases. Mm. It's just people going around, yeah, I think I kind of liked her. You know, she was really nice. Like, not even like, I think we should hire or not this person.
I like so many people that I wouldn't hire.
I know.
I do. I like so many people and I wouldn't hire them. And that, when people come to this meeting or when they talk about the candidate and they're like, oh, I really liked them, I think to myself, I do not care.
Yeah. It's just irrelevant. It's just, that's great and completely irrelevant right now.
Yeah.
Because the person who's going to ultimately be making this decision about whether or not we're going to hire this individual is not reviewing this information to know whether or not you like them.
Right.
They need to know whether or not we should hire this person. And
yeah,
they don't want this secondhand information about how you felt about the candidate. That doesn't help them make their decision. It doesn't.
Right.
And surely there is no way any intelligent person could believe that us all phoning it in is an effective interview process.
No.
No, exactly.
Again, hundreds of thousands of dollars hinge upon this decision. And I rarely have conversations about whether or not I like someone that cause expenditures. That's not what's going on. Even if you use the manager tools interview results capture meeting, and there's a cast for that, you'll still be hearing from interviewers who did not conduct a full, robust, you know, deeply delving and therefore unfair, by the way, interview using their very best capabilities. We're going to put everything in place that we can, and it will still result in people kind of phoning it in.
Yeah, and not even really knowing the purpose, even though you've done everything in your power to tell them what the goal of this is, to make a decision, yes or no. If every interviewer knows the goal of each interview is to make this decision based on their time with the candidate, they'll get better information. They'll make sure they ask the right questions. They'll dig for concerns, whether those things are significant or not. They will not be having a chat so that they can get together later and talk about the candidate. And this will all add to us being capable of making a decision. And each of those interviewers, therefore, making a decision, they personally can support and defend. And to Kate's point, even when they know the purpose, sometimes they fall back into these old habits, these old ways.
Part of it is experience, right? Yeah,
totally.
They've had a lot of experiences from the other side of the table, and we have to teach them a new skill. And interviewing is hard work. It should be work where you're deeply involved. You're paying a lot of attention. It's tiring. I have found that one of the most tiring things to do during my regular workday is to conduct a long interview. Mm-hmm. And also, it's detrimental to my supply of pens. Yeah, if everybody knows the goal, they'll do it differently and they'll be making a decision. And what's more, they'll be preparing themselves for their potential next role, right? Because that's what we're hoping to do, is teach them skills that will support them in their careers. And what's more, they'll be preparing themselves for their potential next role, to say nothing of their future responsibilities in this area. It's coming up really quickly that they'll have to preside over the interview results capture meeting as the hiring manager, or just be in it as an attendee. And because of this, because they know it's coming, they will demand that each interviewer meet a higher standard of making decisions in the interview. And even if, once again, if all they're going to do is attend pretty soon, they still want this so that they're having helpful conversations in the interview results capture meeting. Yeah. But someday when they have to run the meeting, by gosh, like, you will not want to hear anything other than people's decisions in that meeting. It is just extraneous if they're not presenting the right stuff. So
exactly.
We're going to teach people to interview to a decision. and when we're going to make sure that the conversations we have in interview results capture are fruitful.
Yeah.
And that is based on people doing their jobs in the interview.
In the interview. Exactly. Exactly. You can't even, don't even start interviewing until you've told your team the goal of their interview. Because right. if they don't know that, they're going to do it poorly. And folks, all of these things added up, this working toward a decision point, speeds the entire process up. Hiring, frankly, hiring often takes a long time, but it doesn't have to take a long time. In most cases, when the process takes longer than the candidate or company wants, the company then defends itself by saying, well, it doesn't want to make the wrong decision, or internally, administratively, these things take time to turn around. And those aren't not entirely true, but weak, unfocused interviews spread out over a long period of time does not solve the problem. It's frankly a contributing factor. It really, really is. We could make our decisions quickly, and that would speed the entire chain of events up, but we don't make decisions quickly.
If you're looking at your interview process, there are absolutely places where you can speed things up.
Yeah.
And this is one of them, where the decisions happen at the end of each interview, and then at the end of the final interviewing day. The other places where you shouldn't skimp are also, you know, to be aware of. In this case, though, if we've brought this person in, if we're all the way at the end, then we should be ready to make decisions. Yeah. And the value of the interviewing process is not more time, rather effective decisions. Mm-hmm. Several unfocused interviews over a long period of time, course of weeks, to your point, because they give you the time to think, is clearly a less effective process than several focused, goal-oriented, decision-oriented interviews in a shorter period. Mm-hmm. If each of the interviewers results in, hey, I've made this decision, if each interview ends in a decision rather than the beginning of some thoughtful consideration of what you heard, you can make a decision virtually immediately after the last interview of the in-person day or the last virtual interview. But if you have a series of unfocused, non-decision-based interviews over weeks, why should the first interviewer get a lot more time to think about it than the last guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't make a ton of sense.
No.
And if you've gotten all the way to this point and you haven't gathered enough data, and okay, I understand that not all interviews result in enough data and you need more. Okay. And perhaps it's a upstream problem. Perhaps your questions need to be better.
Exactly.
Perhaps your focus needs to be better.
Yeah.
And heaven forbid your process is bad and results in poor hires.
Right.
When honestly, you're also treating them unfairly.
Right. Or losing candidates, dude. I just love in the interview process because, folks, you got to assume every person you ever interview is interviewing elsewhere because they are. They stink and are. Mm-hmm.
They could get poached.
Yeah. So our ability to speed to the market or get faster toward that point of making a decision and then ultimately, obviously, making an offer is really, really necessary. When we're competing over this talent, it just, the more we can do to speed it up, the better.
Yeah. Which brings up a point, y'all, about if you're going to get all the way to this point where you're doing like the final interviews, you should have been working with HR this whole time to have the package ready. Because heaven forbid, you get to the last interview of the day and now it's going to take 6 weeks. And I know there are some places, you know, we work with some organizations where the process is really long and there's extra stuff and, you know, vetting. And let's get as much of that done on the front end. That's another place where you can really speed your process up is the second the requisition opens and we start getting candidates, let's start those longer processes. So move those to the left such that you can move this set of decisions up and therefore actually make a hire.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Are you ready to take your career to the next level? Learn from top executives who face the same challenges you're facing right now. Our Executive Outlook videos, recorded at our recent M conference, are packed with real-world insights designed to sharpen your leadership skills and help you stand out in the workplace. If you couldn't be there, it's almost as good as attending in person. Start your journey today. visit us online at manager-tools.com, and you'll find our Executive Outlook videos under the Training and Events section. Folks, the effective interviewing process works because it demands a decision at the end of each interview. When each interviewer knows they must decide, they then become better interviewers. And when everyone makes their individual decision immediately, when the interview is still fresh in their minds, you can make a hiring decision virtually instantaneously, the moment the last interview is done, in a single interviewing day. If you're familiar with the Manager Tools guidance, that's when you're capable of making a decision. If you're interested, I will say, actually, while we're here, this podcast is coming out on November 4th, 2024. If y'all are interested in learning more about this effective interviewing, effective hiring practice a la Manager Tools, and you are in the area of Silicon Valley, know that we are teaching this content, the entire interview process in Silicon Valley, on November the 13th. It will be myself, Mr. Matt Beckwith, our newest presenter, will be there.
Yeah.
We'd love to talk to you more about the process. There's also a book, The Effective Hiring Manager. I mean, if you want to learn more about the process, there are ways of doing it.
Yeah. And Mark's presenting it in Austin in January, at the end of January, too.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So we've got a few coming up.
We do once a quarter, right? So we've got two coming up pretty quick here.
I love that.
Yeah.
Right around hiring season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is an old saying, and it is the title of a book as well, Philip Crosby, called Quality is Free. And it's called that because in manufacturing and many other disciplines, it's the lack of quality that costs money in rework and wasted materials. Interviewing is the same way. A quality interview is one that creates a decision, and that's less expensive and faster than poorly conducted interviews that don't help you make a decision.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, everyone.